This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. We recently came across an intriguing story about the Cass Community Services in Detroit. They've come up with a design to repurpose old tires and turn them into sandals and mud mats. Well, here is something truly innovative. The city gets rid of some illegally dumped tires, and folks who need a job can get one. They have 80 people working on the mats and sandals, and they plan to add another 20. That got us wondering, where does innovation come from? Just what is it, and can you teach it? Richard Price is the Stanley Seashore Collegiate Professor of Psychology and Organizational Studies at the University of Michigan. He's here now. Thanks so much for being with us today, Richard.
Delighted, Cynthia.
You actually taught a class called The Psychology of Innovation, Creating a New Enterprise. And I'm wondering, how would you grade this sandals from old tires idea by the Cass Community Services? What's innovative to you about it?
Well, there's lots of innovative, and in fact, you described lots of it, Cynthia. The idea that people had an itch to make something better, that they clearly talked with each other and began to have a vision about what it might look like, and that clearly they had raw materials at their disposal, some sense of what might be possible, and some experience. Obviously, some people had to know where the outlets needed to be for products like this, what the need might be, what the market is, how to fashion it, and so on. So those are some of the personal ingredients, but there's more to it, actually, we found in teaching the course and in our own research. There are at least two other things that are important. One is, I think, the recognition, and your example is a really good one, the recognition that innovation happens between people, not alone. The idea about some genius sitting in an attic inventing new stuff is pretty much a myth. Innovation is a team sport. It takes ideas and skills all put together in order to make something happen. And your sandals example is a really nice idea, a nice example of it.
How do you define innovation, Richard?
Innovation is anything that changes the status quo in ways that improves it from the point of view of some potential user. That covers a lot of ground, and it's intended to, because I think we often think about innovation. We also often confuse innovation and invention. Invention is an idea. Innovation is making it real. And entrepreneurship is the business by which you take a new idea and find a market for it and turn it into an enterprise. So there are three quite different things.
So we see someone like Steve Jobs, and you just go from A to B to C.
If you read carefully about Steve Jobs, one of the things you'll discover is most of the things that he brought to life were somebody else's idea. The mouse is a good example. It was sitting in Xerox Corporation on a shelf until he came along, saw what use it might be made of it, and then built a team in order to actually take it from a big clunky box into the thing we use today.
I'm talking about innovation with Richard Price, who is a professor of psychology and organizational studies at the University of Michigan. Can you teach innovation, Richard, or does someone have to just be born that way?
Great question. You certainly can teach it. I wouldn't have been teaching a course on it unless I believed that you could teach it, but you have to teach it a certain way. I call it action learning. That is, you can't just learn it out of a book, although examples and conceptual frameworks that help you think about it are really important. But you also have to roll up your sleeves and do it and learn from your own experience. That's what action learning is all about. So in this course that we did, we started with very basic ideas generated by the students and helped them take them to the level at which they were actually a prototype that they could pitch to other people. So in the course of that project, everybody developed their own ideas. They created teams, chose the best ideas that were most appealing to them, and then went out into the world to interview people who were experts in the particular domain where they thought an idea would be a good one. And when they did, I asked them to revise their idea every week and gave them feedback on it. And then finally, after weeks of agony and excitement, they were able to pitch their idea to the whole class. And turned out to be pretty exciting because a number of them actually came to pass.
Huh. So give us an example. For instance, what kind of...
Well, one of the things that I especially... Well, I'll give you a few examples. One team created a health food truck and started that enterprise. Another started, designed a project for teaching inner city kids how to apply to college, because they realized that lots of inner city kids didn't have experience with it, and maybe their parents didn't either, but that they had a skill that they could turn into a program to teach kids how they might go about it. Another interesting one that happened right here at Michigan was that one of our teams actually realized there were so many entrepreneurs out there among the students that they decided they needed a marketplace where these entrepreneurs could actually display their wares and interest other people in them. So they created a marketplace that ended up in the basement of the union where people could come in, talk to the innovators, see how their ideas worked, give them feedback, even think about investing in it.
We've heard this from our governor, that this is the kind of mindset and the kind of skill set that Michigan needs to help in its recovery, and this seems to spell it all out perfectly.
You bet. And I think the big myth that you really have to bust is that there are only a few people that are entrepreneurs, actually, and a few people are innovators. Actually, in our daily lives, we innovate all the time. And you don't have to be a super expert or a super scientist. For example, if you have a workplace, and you do, Cynthia, you look around, you may see some things that could use some improvement. And in fact, if you're the kind of person who wants to take that idea forward, you could probably create an innovation in your own station that might make things work better for not only yourself, but other people.
I guarantee you, moms and dads are doing that on the home front every day, aren't they?
They are indeed.
What you say, Richard, is the biggest challenge in getting over that hump of identifying a problem to actually developing that creative solution?
Well, I think one of the things is that every day, each of us comes up with lots of new ideas that we don't pursue. And every once in a while, we come up with an idea that we get excited enough that we want to pursue it, but we get discouraged right away when we hit a barrier, and we drop it. And ideas operate along an evolutionary path. Many, many, many are created, and only a few survive. One of the great mysteries is, why do they survive, and which ones survive? And one answer to that is, at least at the level of individuals who are trying to create something new in the world, is that they think that failure is a problem. But actually, you can't learn anything in this world unless you fail. So a crucial thing to understand is that when something doesn't work, then you've just suddenly learned something. When you learn something, you're ready to pick up the pieces again and get back to work. So failure is something in our culture that is stigmatized. Everybody thinks it's a bad thing. It's embarrassing. We try to hide it. But the truth of the matter is failure is what we need to be able to do if we're going to keep moving forward.
Very wise words from Richard Price, who is the Stanley C. Shore Collegiate Professor of Psychology and Organizational Studies at the University of Michigan, as we explore innovators. Thank you so much, Richard.